So, well, hello everyone. This is an Anything Can Happen Thursday happening on a Wednesday. So just hold on. As usual, I just want to check and make sure that we've got everything streaming the way we want it to. And it looks like we do. I'm going to share this. Don't go away. I'll be right back. We've got the other two members in the green room. So I'll just, there we go. Somebody's commenting to a comment on Facebook. Don't do that now. I'm doing stuff. And we're just about there. Always have to switch. the computer that I'm doing the broadcast on isn't a touch screen. Every once in a while, I put my finger on the screen to try and move stuff. And I go, oh, wait, that doesn't work. So we're going to go here. And that sure is it.
Creatures of habit.
You see, they're like disembodied voices. You can hear them, but you can't see them. See? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. All right, so let's bring the whole crew on. So, welcome name, to... Right? Okay, fingers out of the noses. You're on the camera now. So we've got the whole crew here, of course, and the top of the pyramid is Greg Nixon from the Straight Shooters Show. Say hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Attaboy.
And I choose to weren't sure whether it's Thursday or Wednesday. It's going to be today all day.
There you go. Until tomorrow. In the bottom corner, this is like Hollywood Squares. In the bottom corner is Tracy from the Russ and Tracy Show. Say hello, Tracy. How you doing?
Hi, everybody.
This is kind of neat in that. Oh, goodness. I'm saying probably 2009 or 2010. And I actually posted a little picture just last night. I received the name, and it's so much more than that, Convergence. And you'll hear us talk about it. We actually are branding, if you will. One of them is we call it Convergence Reiki. For me, what that means is it's a converging of all things, and therefore the exclusion of nothing. It's bringing everything together. And one expression of that was Convergence Media. And what I really thought was cool about that, and we're talking like, 7 years ago, was to build something just like this. And so this morning, I was just sort of thinking about this, and so the shows that we've done as groups, and then, of course, corporately like this. And I was thinking about this, you guys, is like, holy crap, it's happening. And so I resurrected, if you will, the banner of Convergence Media. And I've talked to Tracy about it. I know specifically, and well, we were actually just joking about it before the broadcast. And I was saying, well, you just wait until the viewers for this are maybe not 100 or 200, but 1,000 or 10,000, because there's a vision. Okay, this is good. There's a vision, you guys, that is manifesting right now. And this has been in that gestation period of the non-physical for who knows how long. I know in my awareness for the last 7 years. And it's coming to fruition now. And for me, this is pretty damn exciting. And so I congratulate the two of you. And I'm just immensely thankful that you guys, outside of your good wisdom and judgment, have chosen to enter into this journey with me. And I think that's pretty damn cool. Thoughts and comments, kids?
Go ahead, Greg.
Been a long journey to get here. I didn't know that I was going to be on a 8-year trip to get to this place where you and I are chit-chatting and talking about whatever. But it's really interesting how, yeah, I think back to, I mean, 2009, that was a year of big shifts. I made a gigantic shift in that year because I had a conversation with my life coach after one particular especially bitchy session where I was complaining a lot. And my life coach says, so what are you doing for self-care? What? What do you mean? I was really pissed off because I didn't know what she was talking about. But I hung up the phone. I made a decision. I need to develop a self-care consciousness because I have no idea what she's talking about.
That's cool. That's cool. I'm just going to, we have got comments already. So the comments come in, they usually come in real time, folks. Sometimes there's a bit of delay. So if I don't acknowledge them, I either haven't seen them yet or it's just that bit of a delay. So we've got, Trina, of course, Greg and I know Trina. Tracy. Tracy, meet Trina. So Trina says, what else? Yes. Can hardly wait to find out. That's cool. Trina's a neat, neat lady. You're doing great, Trina. You're doing great. Hold the course, hold the vision. You're doing great. Another one, I don't know if you guys can see these, so I'll kind of read them out. So Patrick House is one of ours. Patrick says, I'm down at the Dose before work. So the to clarify, the Dose is a coffee shop, okay? And Greg and I often have our meetings there. So you should down at the Dose before work. Reminds me that we're overdue for coffee. Yes, we are, Patrick. We are overdue. We'll connect soon. That's cool. I'm just going to scroll up and catch anybody else. Kent stayed and watched, but we'll watch it later. That's cool. Thanks for tuning in. Share. We're all in this together. It's about building community. I love what Greg just talked about with self-care. And I know, Tracy, that's one of the things that has really become a valuable aspect of your experience and one that I know from our conversation is often the one that's overlooked with people. Your thoughts?
Yeah, stepping back just for a sec, I remember in January, you and I were teaching and I was in a class with you in Lethbridge, and you came up with the thought, what if we did a show? What if we did the Russ and Tracy show? And it's just like, oh, really? That was so big to me then. And since then, here we are, and it's really cool how that has developed. So yes, and on your way to self-care, really, it's really become important to me. And I know that when I have a busy week, I really know that my self-care has been lacking. And then getting back to that is so very important to me because I know how that feels like now. I really know that my self-care has been lacking.
You've got an echo somewhere. So maybe just turn down your speakers a little bit.
My bad. It's my fault.
Sure. Greg goes back in the green room. So
yeah, I'm in the shit house.
With love and light, of course. Yes. Greg's in the shit house, but love and light. So that's cool. That's excellent, Tracy. I have a thought. And something that So I was, as you guys know, and probably many of you that have been listening know, so I was brought up in United Church. I kind of segued through into sort of charismatic / Pentecostal. And so one of the things that...
Me too.
There you go. I can't remember. Actually, Trace kind of has a similar path. Oh, there you go. And one of the things they would talk about, one of the questions was, so what does God want to do with me? And it's like, so what we were supposed to do is figure out what God had decided our purpose was for our lives. So then you segue through into whatever the hell this genre is that I'm in now. And then the question starts to become, so, well, you get to design your own destiny. You get to choose that. And then you decide it. That's you. Yes, your job to figure that out. And I know for me, at least initially, not so much now, but there's a bit of a discrepancy with that. So you've got the school of thought, okay, I design my own experience. It's up to me. I do whatever the hell I want, basically. Or the God or the universe or source has this higher purpose, and my job, if you will, is to basically surrender my wants and needs so that the universe can use me for its purpose. Does that resonate with you guys?
Well, what just running through my mind was that it all changed for me when I took the label off of the divine.
Ah, okay, explain.
When I stopped, because I grew up in United Church, I mean, it was a really strong tradition. I mean, my father had an oil field hauling company, and he actually had to get permission to be able to use his cranes, his mobile cranes, to erect the beams that held the church up. He had to work on a Sunday. He had to get permission from the minister to be able to do it on a Sunday because that's the only day that they had available.
Okay.
So there's this big tradition about how important, you know, my father's work was to the church. I mean, you know, there's a church, there's a steeple, there's all the people. Well, that's literally, he put up these big gigantic girders. Anyways, so there was that. And then later on, I started searching. I ended up in the United Church Renewal Fellowship, which was a Pentecostal kind of little self-help group. And then I got into Full Gospel and Pentecostal and all that. And it was very rich in some ways and very disturbing and troubling because there was lots of questions but not very many answers. But when later on in life, when I took the label off and I stopped referring to God as God, my favorite label is the All That Is.
Ah, okay. That's perfect.
So that then opened my, so then I didn't have all this resistance to the All That Is, which includes me.
Ah, okay. So removing the predetermined label, if you will.
Right. The God, that you know, the angry old guy that looks like Santa Claus in the sky, but he loves you, God.
Right.
Letting go of that label and all of that meaning and unwinding that ball of string really began a real opening for me personally.
Wow. That's perfect. That's cool. Tracy, I know that, and I can't remember your path, I'll call it, through religion, but okay, so here's a light question. So who is God and what does that mean to you, Tracy?
Whoa.
Well, and I think seriously, I think that's because many of the folks, not all of them, but many of the folks that have stepped into this and that we work with, all of us work with in different ways, have had some type of quote unquote religious upbringing. And I think one of the things, I know it was for me, and as Greg has shared, interesting, maybe this is a topic, the things that I needed to understand and come to terms with, and I think discover what it meant to me, was this three-letter word called God. So I'm just sort of curious, Tracy, so what has your experience been with that, kind of as this flow and as things have changed and grown for you?
I grew up in the Lutheran Church, and I have, I developed sort of a, I don't know what you want to call it, as God is a disciplinarian. And if I did something wrong, I was in trouble. And if I did something right, well, that was a good thing. But I've come to terms where I'm trying to get myself out of, I got myself out of the way to kind of do the self-care business and really open my eyes and become more understanding to realize that God loves me. And even if I screw up, I'm still okay. It's not something that has damaged me for the rest of my life. I'm forgiven and I can move forward. I'm an okay person. And to be able to, I felt I needed to really control myself and be in control to not do bad things and to just always be very careful. And leaving that control and surrendering and letting the creative flow, as you talk about, and just being, taking inspired action when I feel like God is speaking to me, but also just chilling out and not trying to have that control of doing things the way I think they should be, and instead letting life flow a little bit easier, which has been such a relief to me in one way and a real learning experience to me in another. It's been challenging, but I'm getting there.
No, that's perfect. I was just thinking as I'm listening to you folks, so I wonder if, and this is not a religious show, it's not designed to be a religion show, it's not a commentary on religion. And for me, religion, frankly, for me, religion and God are two different things. Religion and spirituality are two different things. I wonder, and even in our society, we see this, we tend to live in an, and I make up words, you guys know this, an exclusionary society as opposed to an inclusionary one. So what I mean by that, and actually when I was listening to what you were mentioning there, Tracy, it really twigged in on me, is we tend to live in this society that's really focused on, here's the things that you're supposed to exclude or not do in your experience. I mean, we live in a land of laws. And what are laws do? Laws don't say do this. Laws say don't do this. And I'm not saying we live in that we switch to a world of rebellion and anarchy. But I think the power comes in when we switch to one that's based on inclusion, not exclusion. So let's focus on what we do want to do, what we want to include, what does give us health and happiness and growth and expansion, rather than focusing on don't do this. And I think a lot of cases, and not just religions, but a lot of cases, these external parameters are so focused on excluding what you don't want that we never ever get to the spot of thinking about what we do want. See, now you got my damn soapbox here. So here's this thing. So, I'm off on another one. So I would hear a lot. Oh boy, I'm not trying to pick on anything here, but I would often hear in church how, and we've had Rosa checked in. Rosa is one of our students from Anaheim, said hi. Thanks. Rose is a great lady. Shares her stuff. Really appreciate her support. So they would talk about sacrificing, and the connotation of sacrificing is, oh God, sacrificing is I have to give up something I really, really want for something I don't really know if I want. And to me, that's that whole exclusionary thing. And I think what the package it's wrapped in is, so this is what I would like to do, but I need to sacrifice that because I want to do the Lord's work. And somehow we've decided we've decided if we do that, it's going to be polar opposites from what we really want to do. And really one of the learnings that I received was, what if they're the same damn thing? What if those things, see, God, we're weird creatures, man. What if those things that really just get our juices going and we just love to do it, we could do it all day. What if that is God's purpose for us? And so, yes, we should sacrifice everything else in exchange for doing what we really want to do, because why the hell do you think we really want it? Now you got me going. Really want to do it in the first place. Why? Because the universe, or like I said, whether you call it God, universe, or Earl, has placed that within us. There's a reason that the three of us are here today doing this. There's something in us that. Sorry, Trace?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. That's exactly what I've discovered. Doing the things that I love to do have been placed in me for a reason.
Right. Exactly. And I know, of course, I know the other two folks here really well. We like doing this shit, man. It's just fun. And we've been so conditioned, I think, as a society that things that are fun are really not serious, and they're not practical, and then all this kind of stuff. Greg and I, actually, Greg has really embraced the whole enjoying life just in a deeper way here in the last couple of days. So maybe just share some of the learnings from your weekend in Kananaskis.
Thanks. You know, I was just out for a walk in the mountains, and, you know, so those of you may not know, the last 6 to 8 weeks I was fighting pneumonia and had no energy to do anything. So I'm feeling better. I'm over the pneumonia. But things are good. I need to go somewhere. I need to do something for me. So I'm out and about and I'm walking. I'm just so grateful to be out walking, exploring, walking in the mountains, walking in the forest, doing whatever. And it was like, oh, you're enjoying life. You're not doing life. It's like, what? Enjoy life. Don't do life. It's like, whoa. And that really resonated. If you knew me for probably, you know, 5 decades of my life, I was absolutely obsessed with doing was absolutely obsessed with getting things done. I had productivity systems. I had lists. I had lists of my lists. And I was into control, and I was pretty good at it. I got a lot of stuff done, built businesses, sold businesses, coached people, all that kind of stuff. But it was amazing to me, even through all that whole thing, and come back to what you and Tracy were just talking about, is I knew more about what I didn't want than what I actually did want. And I also found that universally to be true with my client, most of my clients. And the other interesting thing is, having had a chance to reflect on a career of coaching over 500 people, so this stopped counting, is that I found a very interesting trend. The people who struggled to experience life in the way that they wanted knew intimately what they didn't want, but they could have great difficulty expressing and embracing and committing to what they did want. The people of my, those of my clients who really got what they wanted and were really living, they were just moving forward in their life. They were crystal clear. They were always talking about what they wanted. So it's the difference between survival thinking versus thriving. You know, knowing, being clear about, well, this is what I want. I'm going to go there and then go there and do that and take the action. And they had an obsessive fixation almost on what it was that they wanted to create. Which Russ and I would say they really felt it. They really embodied it. They literally, it consumed them. It was amazing at their ability to create what it is, whatever it was that they wanted, and how much my clients who were in this, were in survival, and myself, I was there for a long time, just stuck. Intimately familiar with what I didn't want, but couldn't seem to move beyond, because for me, I had to give myself permission to live my life.
Sure. Permission to live. Permission to enjoy living. How about that?
Right. So enjoy life, not new life.
Yeah. Perfect. I know, Tracy, that's one of the things that we've talked about that you've found a lot of value in, is that very simple but profound switch. My whole exclusion and inclusion, not from what we don't want, but really developing a comprehensive understanding of what you do want and how that's really changed the way you experience your day-to-day experiences. Yes?
Yeah, definitely. Greg, what you just said was so true, is that I knew what I didn't want, but for the life of me, what do you want? I knew what I didn't want, but for the life of me, what I did want, I didn't have a clue. And that simple 5-step template really helped me focus in and go that direction. And it's been such a change for me to focus on that, because if you focus on what you don't want, guess what you're going to get?
Well, exactly. And I tell you, it's one of the fundamental truths. And I don't care whether you're in the Love and Light Club or whatever, or whether you're a professional athlete, they've all figured this shit out. It's like, rather than looking at all the things that go wrong, look for the things that can go right. Rather than looking and trying to exclude everything I don't want, let's include those things I do want. Rosa, she just made a really neat comment here. I'm just going to bring it up. So she says for herself, have to move the mic. I've got to move the monitor over here somewhere. So she says, or get my eyes better. For me, God is, God is in you and not outside. So we need to search ourselves to understand and get all the answers. That's right. So basically she's saying that it's, let me get rid of this, that we discover that relationship with whatever label we wish to use for our creator by going in. And of course, I know Greg has studied a lot of Buddhist philosophies and things like that. I think that's kind of one of the number one tenets, isn't it? It's about going inside to find that place and find the answers. Yes?
Well, I mean, Buddha, his last piece of advice before he died was don't believe anything I say. Prove it for yourself.
Ah, okay.
So which means, you know, go inside, try it and see if it fits for you. If not, and he was very clear, if it doesn't work, leave it. But if you find it to be true, then practice it and do it more. But I think that it's really interesting. I think Buddhism is probably one of the most misunderstood world religions because it's not actually a religion. From my perspective, it's a lifestyle.
Oh, that was going to be my next question. Exactly.
It's a way that you choose to view the world. There's no Buddhists don't have a creation story.
Interesting. Okay.
And the purpose of meditation is, even though the way it's meditation is promoted is to quieten the mind, that is not the Buddhist intent. The Buddhist intent is to train the mind. An undisciplined mind has an inability to focus. Lama Oli Nidal, who's one of my teachers, said the mind is like a wild stallion.
Mm.
It's constantly on the move. It never stops. It's constantly moving. It's unpredictable. You never know what it's going to do. He said that through meditation, we learn how to become the rider of the stallion.
And that is, for me, that is so perfect. I know when we had our meditation gatherings in the old days, we used to have regular meditation gatherings. One of the prime reasons people come was they wanted to stop the thoughts in their mind. They wanted to stop all this thinking. And actually what they would find often is when they started to meditate, the thoughts didn't go away. They got busier. And so what I shared with them from my experience was they've always been there. It's just you're starting to become more aware of them. And if you're aware that they're there, then you can start to manage them. And I really love what Greg shared there was, and of course, Tracy and I, we've talked about this too. It's not about removing all those thoughts. It's not about removing those thoughts of the things you don't want. It's learning how to manage your thoughts. And any of you that have been to any of my events will have probably seen me draw my crazy-ass coffee shop map, right? And there's really only two ways we interact with our experience, either physically or non-physically, and that's where our thoughts are. There's all those things that we notice, which we have really very little control over. But then there's that one thing we get to choose to focus on. And whatever we focus on, of course, gets bigger. I think the number one skill that is atrophied horrifically in our society is we've lost the ability. It's still there. It's just atrophied terribly. To actually focus. And to me, that's what managing is. And that's, you're just so spot on, Greg. It's about,
exactly what
I call it,
is that the purpose is to train the mind, to train it to actually focus. Through meditation, you learn to focus the mind. And a trained mind, an undisciplined mind is not a trained mind. An undisciplined mind is, you're walking down the street and you see this house and suddenly a monkey appears in the window and you go, oh, there's a monkey in the window. Then you walk a little further and then, oh, there's another monkey in a different part of the house, another window. And then another monkey appears in another window and, oh, look, there's a lot of monkeys in the house. It's the same monkey looking at things through a different place and the house is your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been listening to a fair bit of Bob Proctor lately, and mm-hmm. I just even shared a video that he talked about it and how our mind, our thoughts, I think he called us like a thinking machine. And yeah. we don't realize how profoundly creative the thoughts that we focus on are. And the thing of it is, because we've got this really crappy understanding of the mind and even crappier skills on how to manage it, is that we end up creating all this hellish stuff everywhere we look. And it's simply because we haven't been taught how to manage our mind. We are thinking, creating machines. And I know, Tracy, different things like this you've talked about, because here's one of the things before. Well, you're coming out of the closet now. So even the, let's say the music recital. Of your daughter's music recital, and we were talking about, okay, sort of the last time you went to it and now this time you went to it and how you were having just some different thoughts about, is this second one going to present itself the same way the first one did, and then how you managed your way through that.
Yes, my daughter's recitals have been scary to me. It's a place that can sometimes be a little tense, to put it mildly. And I was worried. I was not looking forward to it. But getting grounded and just saying no. And you commented on this, Russ, too, which really helped. Rewrite this story in your mind. And we went there, and none of the bad things happened that had happened before. And we all came out of it in really good shape. It was really nice to go there, and it's like, oh, that was so pleasant. We rewrote the story, as you put it, Russ, and it was
right on.
Yeah,
it was very peaceful and really a good time. Yeah. So I'm so thankful. It's like I don't have to be scared. I looked at that fear and I changed it, and we did it.
And what's really cool is, kind of fitting on what Greg had said, is where you did that was in your mind. As you said, you rewrote the story. You rewrote the story in your mind, which then quite literally created a different outcome in your physical world. Candace Webb, she just posted a comment here. She says, society lately seems to want to train us to be ADHD and unfocused. Oh, amen, sister.
Oh, Candace, come on. No, Candace. You need to come over to my side and you need to come and listen to me. Don't listen to Russ and Tracy. You just come and listen to me.
No. You have to listen to me. I've got the right way. No, don't listen to Greg. You have to come to me and listen, right? Or don't listen to Tracy. Don't do whatever you do. Hey, oh, look.
Oh, but can't you Facebook Live? You got to go over to Periscope, or you got to go over to Twitter. I know we could do Anchor, or we could do Bumpers, or
wait a minute. There's this really cool Twitter feed I saw. We got to look at that. Oh yeah, there's this, and we're that isn't that the truth? crash positions.
Yeah, exactly.
And isn't in so many respects everything that each one of us do in our own different way? One of the byproducts is people start to learn how to manage their freaking thoughts.
I hope we didn't scare Candace away.
No, I've talked to her about you. It's okay. Actually, you can't see it.
But that's the reason she laughed.
You can't see it, but on the bottom of your window, I have a disclaimer whenever you come up on camera. So, yeah. Oh, shoot.
But that's exactly it. There's, you know, we're stuck in this paradox of choice.
Oh, explain.
We live in a world of where there's an unlimited supply of an availability of information, unlimited supply of ideas, of strategies and tactics. You pick one thing. Let's just take investing money. You can find software that will invest your money for you. There's apps that will round up your purchases and take, so if it's a $9.82, it'll take the remaining 18 cents and round up the sale to $10, and then it takes the 18 cents and puts it into a savings account for you. Just try to go, next time you go to a superstore or a big grocery store, go down the cereal aisle without any presupposition of what you're gonna do and try to pick one cereal. Or even try to, even if there's your favorite cereal, just try to go and find it amongst the 80 feet of cereal.
So I'm going to pick the other side of that equation now. But isn't that a good thing? Isn't having more information and all this stuff, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that what we're looking for?
Well, there's that adage, information is power. Which is what I think maybe behind part of what you're saying.
However, so this is a rhetorical question.
Information that's not used and applied is actually, I think it's a mental illness.
Perfect. That's what I was looking for. I was kind of like playing the devil's advocate, I guess, if you will, because that's where exactly where I come from is, and I was going to use mustard. Actually, I went to try and get mustard. It's like, holy crap. Why can't there just be two kinds of mustard instead of 20?
Right.
Toilet paper. Right. Right. Like, which one do I use? And I think this is what's happened is we have all these tools. We have all this information, but information only for me has potential value until we pick which one we want and begin to apply it. That's when you see realized value.
I think it was 1999. I made a resolution to buy no more books, no more magazines, no newsletters, nothing until I had finished reading all the books I'd already purchased and applied what I learned.
Yeah.
I think I went for about 3.5-4 years before I bought another book.
Yeah, and Grace?
I've had clients I've coached that I've actually put them on a moratorium, information diet.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Oh, I don't know if I could do that or not. I love my books.
Can you expand on that, Grace?
What was that, Greg?
So can you expand on that? Like if you were to pick up your computer and take us to your book room or your bookcase, how would you feel about that? Would that be kind of like somebody going through your underwear drawer?
No, I'd be proud of you to see all my books, but I can bet that your reaction would be, oh my goodness, she has a lot of books.
You know, there's nothing wrong with books at all. Books are a great thing. You're able to digest what somebody's learned, like especially nonfiction books. You get sometimes a person's lifetime of learning condensed in a book.
Yes, they're
very powerful tools. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
And I'm an author too, so.
Yeah, so just think about what you're saying, Greg. Okay.
Calling the cattle black.
Yeah, just think about this. Well, you see, and for me, it came up in one of my almost daily broadcasts, I believe this week, it was, so when we take that information and we select the information, as you referred to earlier, that resonates with us, because there might be 20 kinds of cereal, but there's going to be 3 that resonate with me. So we're kind of consuming this information, but that's always adding value as we internalize it. And that's the thing. And what that does is that gives us more and more nutrients to discover the answers within us. And I think what we've done as a society, though, is we've gone, does this book have the answer for me? Does this book have the answer for me? Does this teacher have the answer for me? And so, once again, we're looking for the answers. We're looking at these sources of information saying, will it have the answer for me? All this stuff is like going to the grocery store. You're consuming food. You're consuming nutrients, which gives you the ability then to figure out the answers for yourself. And as Rosa said, and other people have said, and we've talked about here, and the answers are coming from within anyway. But if you're not feeding yourself quality nutrients, you're just going to be pansy-assed to find them. But yes, I think that's one of the things is people are looking for this external answers in all this stuff. So they, and the thing of it is, this is what keeps seminars full, because they go, well, that one didn't give me the answer. Well, maybe that one will. Maybe that one will. Maybe that one will.
Right, you got all this. You got a smorgasbord of ingredients, but you're not cooking.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're not chopping everything up. You're not doing any preparation, and then you're not actually cooking a dish.
Exactly. Well, we're actually 45 minutes into the show. We should probably start to head towards a conclusion here. So my conclusion is that what God, Source, Universe, what he, she, them, its purpose for me, and what I enjoy doing, what my acronym is FFCH, fun, fulfilled, challenged, and happy, are the same thing. And I think if we boil it down to one simple statement, at least for me, is God's purpose, pick the label, for us is to grow, expand, and evolve. And if we're doing that in the ways that resonate with us,
yippee.
We're good. Comments, Greg?
Well said. Yeah, I guess, you know, when I was out for a walk in the mountains and it was like, enjoy life, stop. It was actually, the message was, enjoy life, stop doing life.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I just adopted that one thing, if all I did from one moment to the next was to actually enjoy the moment, to enjoy being with people, to enjoy the moment, to enjoy whatever is, like this wonderful opportunity we have. Never before, last year we couldn't have done this, this conversation. What a wonderful gift it is to spend time together with friends talking about this stuff that helps us grow and evolve. If I just enjoyed life.
Yeah, that's perfect.
What if that's all I did the rest of my life?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Just quickly tell people how they can find you.
GregDixon.ca. I've started something called GregDixon.blog on the weekend. It's I'm going to start blogging on a regular basis. And I'm starting tomorrow. Tomorrow is audio month. Beginning June is audio month. And so if you go hashtag audiomo on Twitter, you'll find people that are posting audio and are going to be focusing on posting an audio a day. So I'm going to start doing that tomorrow. So June is audio month. And so you're going to find that stuff over on gregdixon.blog blog.
Perfect. Excellent. Thanks. Tracy, closing comments?
I just want to say thank you to both of you. I'm honored to be a part of this group, and I'm having so much fun. Thank you both for being a part of this with me. Also, it's so important to me to look internal. And yeah, just like you said, Russ, the studying and stuff brings stuff into you, and you can use it to make better choices and move your life forward in the direction that you want. And focus on the life that you want, not what you don't want. So that's what I've been working on. And I have to say, it's helping. So anyway, thank you guys. I'm really honored to be here.
Perfect. It's been a great show. Yes. Thanks for tuning in. Share, right? We're all in this together. It's always about building community. That's how we're going to win. That's how we're going to grow and expand and evolve. Each one of us walking. Sorry?
I got a little Easter egg.
If
people actually comment and then share, even after the show.
Okay.
I'll provide a gift to them. I'll provide a gift of my time, and they can ask me any question, and I'll do my best to answer it.
Oh, wow. That's excellent. What I'll ask you to do, Greg, is post that in the comments on Facebook so it'll be there. But that's very generous. Thank you very much. It's been a fantastic Anything Can Happen Thursday, Wednesday edition. You can see us all over the Convergence Media Network. We're on Facebook. You'll see our names there. So that's how you find our profiles. Thanks for joining us. Share. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you on the web.
Peace.
Ha ha ha.